Welcome to Nerds Before Birds. Each week on the show, we take a look at a film and attempt to answer the question, does it soar like an eagle or simply flip the bird?
Welcome back!
It's almost on par with the actual Rotten Tomatoes Metacritic score.
Never seen a sonogram roll its eyes before, but it did.
I'll do my best to tell these two losers what happened.
Well, if you're still here, we do know things, don't worry.
If any movie is below 6 on IMDb, then it's probably not worth watching.
I always have what I want to say in my head. It's like, oh yeah, that's the perfect way to word it. It's not.
Hi, I'm Fiona.
Hi, I'm Dean.
And I'm Jason. Welcome to Nerds Before Birds, the podcast where you find reviews, rankings, and general discussion on all things film and pop culture. This week on the show, we're talking all about the Netflix newest sci-fi original with a big name attached.
Original is a strong word.
Yeah.
But, okay.
Yeah, well, yeah, it is a, I'm using it very loosely,
cool.
But
liberally.
It is an original movie with Anthony Mackie, and it is called Outside the Wire. What did you guys think of this movie, Fee? What did you think of this movie?
What?
Did you like it? Does it soar? Yeah, I'm skipping
okay.
over you.
No,
yeah.
No, it's fine.
You didn't like it?
No, as per usual, didn't like this movie. I cannot wait until, finally we watch a movie that I actually like. I don't know what we need to do, I'm dying.
As is becoming
a pretty poor run,
we have.
Right?
And
not
as
great.
Is becoming a weekly tradition, Fiona's regretting her decisions in joining the podcast.
To join the podcast. What have I done?
We're running weekly. Yeah.
We're slowly eat at her and just until
I'm
she
gonna reread there. That contract. How do I? No.
So but the thing is like in the last 5 or 6 weeks, however long you've been on the show,
nothing good has come out.
This is
the
true.
The only thing that would have been good is the week that you missed, which was Rock and
That's
Roller,
true.
Which you would have enjoyed.
Yeah.
But
you
missed that week.
But I have already seen that movie, so it's not experiencing a new movie that I like.
You were sick that night, right? Or something like that? Or just sick of it?
I was physically ill from all the Gerard Butler that I had consumed that month.
I get it. I really do get it. I'm right there with you.
What
did you think of this movie, Dean?
All right. Well,
did you have any final thoughts? Or not final thoughts, but do you want to wrap up?
Summarize
your feelings on this movie.
Yeah,
outside the wire.
Like it was a movie, barely. It wasn't a complete piece of trash.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
it had a beginning. It had a middle. I think it had two middles, and then it had an end.
It is the
and it could have ended a lot.
By definition,
yeah.
It was a movie.
I will not be recommending it to anybody, though. So if you're listening to this, hoping that, wow, this is going to be the Anthony Mackie of your dreams, just dream on.
Keep going.
Oh, man. Wow.
Fair enough.
Man.
What did you think of this movie, Dean? Did you like it?
What an awesome start to 2021 we have had. Hey, we've just been going from strength to strength. And actually, look, we did do
Wonder
Soul.
Woman, Milan,
Soul was really good. Yeah. It was divisive, apparently. But it was great. Following up with Soul, we get Outside the Wire, which I'll be honest, Anthony Mackie is amazing. He's just such a cool dude. He drips charisma, and he is such a nice guy to watch. It's awesome.
I hate his mustache. It's so gross.
He has had some questionable facial hair in a lot of movies. What the heck was going on in Endgame? Do you guys remember that?
I don't even remember.
I paid attention
so
to it.
Quick in that.
I don't know. I'd still look. I'd he could still buy me dinner. I wouldn't care. But look, previously, his relationship with Netflix has been amazing. Altered Carbon season 2 was sick, and I was so upset when they cancelled that. And
I'm upset that they cancelled it, but I wasn't a massive fan of season 2. I thought season 1 was so
season
good.
Season 1 was good.
That
season 1 was better. I definitely think season 2 was awesome, and it was leading to something really cool in season 3.
That's true. Yeah.
But then they cancelled that, and I was like, "Oh, but then hey, Anthony Mackie is still doing Netflix stuff." And
yeah.
This I fell asleep like three times trying to get through this movie.
Oh, really?
It was a record. Like, yeah, granted, it's been a big week, but yeah, I was just like, it was
not that
so
big a week.
Yeah, it wasn't like, I was like, oh yeah, I could like watch a movie. That's fine. It's like, no, I fall asleep half an hour in and then,
oh yeah.
Look, it was a struggle to get through. It was just.
Yeah. I think I watched it. Hard. I think I watched it in three parts.
Yeah.
But I watched it on the train and I was like, maybe the window's a little bit better, like right now, to watch.
Maybe
you can just look out the window for a little bit. Maybe I'll
see it. Look at the world go by. Action. It's got some nice kind of like ideas going. It's got some pretty decent, like, you know, CGI and animation and like cool designs. But nothing in this movie is original. And you're just not invested at all. No matter what Anthony Mackie is playing a robot, technically. And he's just basically playing Anthony Mackie, which would usually be fine, but somehow it is boring in this movie.
He's trying to strip away all the charisma that he has to play this robot to feel more robotic, so I suppose.
Yeah, but then also the whole point of the robot that it was that it was superhuman, sentient.
Has emotions.
So weird.
Apparently it's just like a very like overly sarcastic, annoying version of Anthony Mackie that you can't for some reason. It was just, I agree with Fiona, by definition, it is a movie still, but it is just, I wouldn't recommend it. It really sucked. And I was surprised because it looked cool. And because it was like, because it was marketed as like by the same producers that, by the studio that brought you like, was The Old Guard and Extraction and those kind of Netflix action films. It's like, sweet, it's in that kind of, like, I like those movies. This is going to be good.
Well, at least the action is much more like choreographed and like it's actually like art almost, you know, where it's like, this is an action film. This is the genre I'm in. This is entertaining. Yeah. Whereas this was just like, okay, you've got a gun. I've got a gun.
It was boring.
Great.
Yeah.
It was,
The action was a little bit uninspiring. Like it sort of, there's those big hits and everything where they do like the crazy camera moves to just try and like, it's like a post move as well. Like it's like they zoom it in or whatever just to make
see
the
like
hits
the kind of
feel more like
the motion
gritty.
Blur that's a bit off.
Yeah. And a little bit of, little bit of camera shake sort of thing, but it's done in post and it doesn't work to make the action more exciting. It just
makes it look like you're trying it up. Trying to make it better than it is.
Yeah, exactly.
It's an editor sitting there watching is like, how am I going to make this watchable? Like, what stabilizer effect
can
I put on
this? What can we possibly do?
What can I do? I'm going to try everything. I didn't like this movie. There you go. We're back to agreeing on something, Fee. This is awesome.
The world is right again. And how about you, Jason? I'm going to ask you this week.
Yeah, thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you. Like, you realize
this is why you're here, Fee.
Jason,
we were terrible at asking Jason.
We value your opinion, Jason.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, I love
Fiona
this movie.
Fiona values
like
your opinion,
movie.
Jason. Sorry.
This movie is my favorite movie for 2021. So
wow.
It was
really high praise there.
Wow, mate. Wow. No, you haven't been getting much sleep,
like
have
movie.
You?
It isn't my favorite movie from 2021. Definitely not. But I feel like you're right, Dean. Like there's some big ideas, but they're just poorly executed. And it's a shame because like, they could have done something like more, I don't know, like just, I suppose, different.
Mm-hmm.
Like taken some of the genre pieces that they're sort of stealing from and manipulated them in another way. And I was kind of waiting for the Upgrade kind of moment.
Oh, yeah.
Or, Or Ex Machina.
Mm-hmm.
That kind of like that moment where it's like, things
where you're like the penny drops and you're like
dark.
What
and you get to the end of the movie and you go, what just happened, how did we get here, kind of
you
thing
kind of,
yeah. That
you
never
kind
happens
of get
with this
something
movie
something like that in a sort of twist but it is just, it feels so
it's forced.
Cheap and forced.
It's like this is like, let's slam this down your throat. Let's like, I hate it when movies try to like teach you a lesson. Like, this is the message that we're trying to get out into the world. It's like, no, tell me a story. I'm not an idiot. This isn't school.
That's like, right. Yeah. You're right. That's like, we should.
Let me figure it out myself.
Message the studios, guys. Yep. Stop with the lessons. We are not here to learn. We're here to be entertained. We're here, like, you know, just we'll throw you money and dance. That is all we want you to do. Just dance for us, dance monkey. Nothing else. Don't talk. Just stand there
and entertain me.
Exactly. Like, I think there's nothing wrong with having a lesson if you're entertained at the same time, but you don't realize you've actually learned something or whatever.
And like, it's sort of like hidden, more of an
exploration of themes and not just like robots are bad and war is bad.
I feel like that's where like every single time I've learned something, like, you know, well, is when it's been a hidden lesson. Like, I think that's why like kindergarten is so good, because they're like, hey kids, let's sing a song. Let's do a dance. Let's play with toys. Oh, and like, also,
you had hidden lessons in the apple. What did they not tell you?
Yeah.
they didn't tell you that you're having a lesson.
Look, you're just there to have fun. You're there to like,
you, yeah, it's for true. It's like preschool.
Preschool. And then you get to year 12. It's like, oh, I see. No, I refuse to learn what you're trying to teach me. Yeah. That was my
because you're learning through exploration. Like, you're engaging your intelligence. You're not just being told this is morality.
Right. Ugh. So, Hollywood Studios, if you're listening to us, give us kindergarten grade lessons, please. That's what we want.
This is kind of kindergarten grade.
This is kindergarten grade. In a different way.
They did listen.
This is kindergarten grade.
To a degree.
I'd say that.
That's fair.
It was made by kindergarten students. Yeah. No, I'm kidding. Sorry, don't come after me.
We all don't recommend this movie, then?
Yeah, we'll agree.
Here's the funny thing. Paul's not here tonight. And that's kind of making...
He would have loved it.
This movie has every single ingredient to make it Paul's favorite movie of 2021.
He would have gone to the end of this movie and be like, gee, that was a great ride.
How cool was that sound effect?
Those audio engineers. I actually do have a note about the audio engineers in this one, but we'll get to that when we get to the plot.
This might have been a more divisive episode if Paul was here.
But we're just all gonna agree, so
sucked in Paul.
Those people that have watched this movie and they're like, by the way, Paul's not here because he had other commitments tonight or whatever. He's still on the show. He hasn't gone.
he hasn't been replaced
by Fiona. He's coming back. Anyone that's panicking, all people now celebrating,
don't worry, guys. Everyone's favorite angry host is coming back at some point.
So let's get into the plot of this movie anyway. Yes. So the film follows a not too distant future where a war has erupted between is it in the Ukraine and Russia, like a war between the two, or is it no man's land in between?
I actually have no idea.
Okay, I actually paid attention because they had like a graphic on the screen. So I was like, I know. Yeah. So
I can read.
Ukraine shares a border with Russia. And then Russia, like something shady was happening in the Ukraine. So Russia was like, we're going to take our old, you know, because they used to be occupied. Ukraine used to be part of Russia.
And so they're like, we're going to take it back. Happens in Russia. So, you know.
And then the Ukraine people, the Ukrainians were like, no, we don't want to be Russia. We want to be the Ukraine. And then Russia's like, but we want you to be Russia. And that's pretty much it. And then America's hey, we need to jump in on this.
we're peacekeeping.
How can I insert myself into this situation?
Did you guys say war?
Yeah. Did I hear it? Like,
what? Did I hear someone say war?
Global conflict?
I'm coming. Me too, please.
What is it good for?
So bad. So they're like, they deploy a peacekeeping force. Yes. And,
because this that is like not, not like that. I love that term. Peacekeeping force.
War.
It's just, it's not contradictory at all.
The greatest oxymoron of all time.
You're an oxymoron.
Yes. Man. So, it's in 2036, so we're in like the not too distant future, and we've got now, we've got Gumps, which are robotic soldiers that are fighting alongside the US Marines, and in one of the first encounters that a group of Marines have with this terrorist, Victor Koval is he's the name of this terrorist sort of leader, and he has like this massive organization that are up to nefarious things.
In the Ukrainian side, yes.
Yeah. The Ukrainian side, yeah. And so so they get into a little bit of skirmish with some of the terrorist whatever, like goons, whatever. I don't know what you want to call them. But
guys,
there's this firefight between them and
the US.
Yeah.
The US Marines. Yeah.
Talking about the Gumps, also, like, they tend to, they suddenly just disappear from the equation at this point, right?
No, they get blown up, right?
Oh, okay. Well, there you go.
They get taken out.
Okay.
So, there's a bunch of them there, and they get taken out by just a few, like, RPGs or something
that
like that.
Bit. And there you go.
Yeah, it's around, like, it's very early on, but there's two Marines that are sort of separated that are wounded out from the rest of the platoon or whatever. Mm-hmm. And there was the captain that's, like, calling, like, basically trying to get him back. For a split second, I actually thought he was Jason Isaac. You know, do you know who Jason Isaac is?
Yeah. Any relation to Oscar Isaac?
Lucius Malfoy, right?
No.
Oh.
Yeah.
Then no.
Not Star related.
But I know who Lucius Malfoy is.
He's actually Australian.
He actually, okay, so you know how in, actually, Fee doesn't know this, but Mandalorian, how Ahsoka's dropped
guys,
that.
I started watching it. I watched the, I said, congratulations to me.
Okay. You're a full nerd
now. How far through are you?
Well, I was very apprehensive about starting The Mandalorian because
I know
J.J. Abrams broke my heart.
But J.J. Abrams is not involved at all.
I know. And then I was like, okay, Jon Favreau, you can have my heart. It's okay. So we're slowly going on this ride together.
Them?
Nice. Yeah.
How many episodes are you in?
Two.
Oh, okay.
Just two.
Oh,
okay. Just two.
What are your thoughts so far? Like, you're very, very early stages, obviously.
But I find it weird that Baby Yoda actually makes baby noises and not alien baby noises. Like, it's human baby noises. Well, so, I find it weird to disassociate that.
Does Yoda make human old people noises or alien
but
old
people
noises?
But he's got, like, an accent, you know? I don't know.
That's true. But how many babies do you know that have accents?
I don't know. Like, kittens don't make... I don't know.
Wah. Hello, I'm a baby. Wah.
Okay. But I'm enjoying it, and I like them.
No. Oh, there's Irish babies out there. Potatoes. I'm a baby. I've seen my potatoes.
Baby accent. Oh my god. Okay.
An Irish baby.
I'm enjoying it.
I love that you're still calling him Baby Yoda as well. That is...
That's... Yeah.
Well, he doesn't have a name yet to me, okay?
No, he doesn't.
No.
Because I'm season one, episode two.
That is
that's all I know him as.
That takes me back. That's good. What was I even going to say? Jason Isaacs.
I don't know what you're saying.
I was going to say... Jason Isaacs. The reason why he's... Where did poor Jason go? Did Jason just drop out?
I think he did just drop out. It's just...
Yeah. Oh, hello.
Oh, wait.
You back?
You're back.
Hello, it's back. Okay. I'm back. I like literally just I went to close my window and I hung up on the call.
No,
you guys are still rolling.
Somebody's
right?
taking down the time code right now, aren't they? Yeah,
probably not. I'll probably just let it go.
Everyone's like, for all those, if this is left in the podcast, yeah, Jason just exited out of the conversation.
Just hung up,
up on us.
I was like, yeah.
I'm like, oh, okay.
We talked about Star Wars and I'm done.
Jason
for the
does
night.
Not want to hear about Jason Isaacs anymore. And so he's making a stand.
Okay.
So, you know, in
but
the,
he's like, the captain or something.
He was the captain.
Yeah,
in,
well, he wasn't. He, he's not in this movie at all.
No.
He's like, not in this movie.
Oh, he's a lookalike.
But the, somebody that
looks like
him.
Yeah.
So we're just like, so we're really, we're talking about a kid, someone
why,
that's not
that
in this movie.
Is that the only reason why we're talking
that's
about
the
him
only
right
reason.
Now?
Is he's
Dean,
exactly the only reason.
Let's move on.
Okay, fine. Look, we go off on so many tangents, Fiona.
This is the worst tangent of all. The
great.
You know who that guy looks like?
You know what the worst thing is? So the worst thing is he doesn't really look like him. Just in the dark, he looks like him.
Like, oh my
god!
First
5 minutes of this movie,
so
it was like
stupid.
A few, just like few glimpses of him, and I was like, oh wow, Jason Isaacs is in this movie. Hilarious. And then, later on, when it was like daytime,
yeah,
I was like, oh, that's not Jason Isaacs at all.
That's Anthony Mackie. What is this?
That's Anthony Mackie. you don't see color. That's beautiful.
What I was going to say with regarding the Mandalorian, you know how it's just dropped that.
No
that,
spoilers.
Are you going to spoil? Are you going to spoil?
But a certain character.
Oh my god!
From
don't
Star Wars animated series has been hinted at. You know who I'm talking about? When
I no, I don't.
Thrawn.
I don't care.
Thrawn.
I don't want to know.
Thrawn. I'll just say
no,
Thrawn.
I don't care. Stop.
It's not a spoiler. It's not like, I'm not telling you, like, you know, what, like, who kills Baby Yoda. That's.
Oh my God.
Did you hear any of that?
I took my headphones off so I wouldn't get any spoilers. And then when I went to put them back on, all I heard is, who kills Baby Yoda?
Damn
it.
Oh, what a I'm so
worst.
Sorry. No, Jason Isaacs is like my like ideal casting for Grand Admiral Thrawn in the Star Wars universe. And the
I
fact
thought
that
you were
going to
say
he's
your hall pass.
Hmm? He's what?
Your hall pass.
He's my hall pass. He's my spirit pass. Animal. He's my
shush.
What is that?
A
hall pass.
You're like your celebrity person that your spouse is okay with you.
Oh,
like having a
hooking
yeah,
up with
having
your freebie.
With. Yep.
Your freebie.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. It's your hall pass.
Hall pass.
Yeah.
I'm getting all up in this kid lingo that these kids are doing.
I don't know the way you're talking about Anthony Mackie. I reckon
he's on my list of men I turn gay for sure. Which is a very short list, let me tell you.
Sure, yeah, it Anthony is. Yeah, yeah.
It's definitely not 2 pages.
Yeah.
So yeah. So he's my ideal casting for Grand Admiral Thrawn. That's all I wanted to say.
Okay.
And because we know that he's
That's
eventually going
to
come
say,
into
yeah.
live action, which is very exciting for someone that is a mad Star Wars guy like me. Anyway.
Yeah,
literally, that's all
enough.
The fun fact that that's the only thing I wanted to say about Jason Isaacs.
All right, back to this movie.
Please.
Longer than I expected. Anyway,
we can skip over
wire.
Some plot stuff because it's so boring.
Yeah, I think so.
But
I think so.
It's not
that
important.
Deviation
can I
that Jason
intro,
Isaacs fact
let's
was more important.
Talk about how he is. What's the main character's name?
Anthony
so
Mackie.
First Lieutenant Harp.
Yes.
So he's a drone pilot. And basically, in this skirmish that happens in the very beginning, there's a whole squadron. Or I don't know. I'm going to get in so much trouble from Paul because I'll get all these like army terminology wrong.
Mm-hmm.
But
we'll
I don't care. But there's like a whole group that gets like pinned down and he's like, okay, I'm going to have to
do a strike, a drone
send
strike.
In, like, some hellfire.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah, because there is a suspicious car, like truck that rocks up, and he believes that there might be like a pretty powerful weapon inside. So he's like, I'm gonna have to rain down some drone fire, and this will potentially kill the two Marines that are stuck out that are already injured. Mm. But it will save the other 38 Marines, and this is a decision that he sort of, like, he takes into his own hands because all of his superiors say, don't do it, and he doesn't get the all clear, but he's like, nah, I've got to do it. It's, like, you know, for the greater good.
Now,
so,
sacrifice two for the better of 38.
This is a really crap, like, way to set up a character, I think. Because
oh my gosh, it was so boring.
It's like, so they're trying to do the whole, like, oh, this guy, you know, doesn't follow orders. He's
and he doesn't he care. Doesn't, like, also, he's, they've kind of got that.
Yeah, he's
because he's just like eating gummy bears.
Yeah, do you know
which
who
comes into it?
Do you know
later.
Who this guy is? Mm. This guy is the Gen Z most boring, like, version of Tom Cruise, Maverick in Top Gun ever. Like, he's like, you know, I live by my own rules, except I'm super dull and kill people.
And I sit on a computer desk.
Yeah, and I don't actually do anything amazing. I just do what I want behind my monitor.
Everything wrong with that. Yeah, no, I agree. Like, so when they try to, like, usually when they try to set up a character like this, like a Maverick that, like, you know, doesn't follow the rules, like, they usually, in those kind of circumstances, would do the opposite decision as this guy. Like, usually you'd have a commander saying, fire, 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 and, like, not caring about
and he's like,
the soldiers.
No.
And he's like, no, I'm not going to, you know, risk losing any of my, like, you know. And then he does the opposite, and it doesn't work this time. Like, even though he saves 38.
It's because, ironically, he is the robot.
He is
the he's desensitized.
I'm not sure about you guys, but I found the, what are the robot, like, actual robots in this court again?
Gumps.
The Gumps. I kind of found them more relatable than any human character in this movie. That was just me.
Because, like, people, like, pick on you and, like, bully you, like, bash your head in.
I connect with robots.
Because it's got that whole chappy kind of vibe to it where, like, you know, like, they're mistreating the robot kind of thing, and you kind of feel bad for,
like,
the robot.
And he's like, oh, he preempted. Oh, what poor dude. No, don't cut him some slack, you know? Like, he's looking around. He doesn't know what he's doing. Yeah.
I don't mind what they're trying to do with him, like, taking out the two soldiers and saving the other 38. But it was just so dull the way that they executed this scene.
Oh, my gosh, wasn't it?
There's no, like, it's sort of like the emotional weight of the situation
does
not carry across. So,
Mikael Hafström. Mikael Hafström.
Yeah. So,
cool.
Oh, he directed 1408. That was not a good movie either.
That was,
No.
I enjoyed that, but that came out back when I knew what a good movie was. Like, before I knew what a good movie was.
And before you knew what a good movie was.
Yeah, and so I was like, movies rock.
Definitely not my favorite director. I don't think I've seen any of his films.
Oh, wow. Well, then.
That's fair.
Would definitely mean he's not your favorite.
No,
director.
You've seen one. So basically, First Lieutenant Harp is, like, he's being disciplined for disobeying direct orders, and they're basically like, well, we've invested a lot of time in you. Mm. We don't want to completely expel you from the military. So what we're going to do is we're going to actually deploy you into this war zone so that you can get firsthand.
Yeah, you have no remorse for killing the soldiers that you
did.
We
need to make you more human.
By teaming you up with a robot.
teaming you up
and then
the
he can teach you how to have emotions that we programmed in him.
This isn't going to go wrong at all. Great choices.
How this could go wrong. See, he gets deployed to the war zone and he gets teamed up with What is
Anthony Mackie?
Anthony Mackie's character
Is like he's Leo,
Captain Leo.
Something.
Yeah. So Leo is this robotic soldier that looks like he's basically the next level of all the robots. He's looks human. He's the Terminator of all the Gumps. So the Gumps look more like Chappie or anything out of any
metal hunks of
directed by Neil Blomkamp.
Literally, or like a very much what's the
like District 9,
District 9,
Elysium,
the like Chappie. Even Code 8 guys. It's very similar to what they had.
Yeah,
Rusty. Very
stolen from all that.
Like a couple, like one or two stages up from what the like actual robotics company, which I forget.
Oh yeah, the Boston
Dynamics, actually have at the moment.
Yeah.
Very much inspired by this.
Did you see that video that they released for Christmas?
Is that the dancing robot that you sent through?
All their robots doing the dancing? Yeah. Like, I just kept thinking that's the sound of our apocalypse right there. That is
terrifying. They're just going to be dancing on our graves. Wow.
Get right into it. It's like, it's so full on. Like, it's amazing what they've achieved.
It is.
At the same time, it's sort of
stop right
terrifying.
There, please. Thank you.
Stop there.
That's it. Bye, Fiona.
They've got like every sci-fi action movie since like District 9 aesthetic, and
you good?
I wish that they would go away from this sort of aesthetic, because the whole like it just come up with something new
for robots.
Like I like Chappie, I like Elysium, I liked District 9. They have that feel, which is really gritty sci-fi.
You want something different.
But I feel like it's time to like reinvent the look of
robots. Have you guys played Cyberpunk 2077 yet?
No.
Kind of go a very different way. Like, obviously, that's like a lot of, you know, like similar to what you see in, forgetting all the...
like Blade Runner.
Similar Blade Runner or we were talking about the Anthony Mackie... show that it was in
Altered Carbon.
Where it's just like, you know, like prosthetics and stuff and like, you know, those kind of like implant kind of stuff. That's where it kind of goes down like that line, but it's very stylistically quite awesome to see. Next extreme, which I think is Anthony Mackie in this, where it's very slimmed down. Too kind of the high level behind sci-fi and thinking, how are they this advanced in the for this year?
Yet they've got these gumps over here that are so like not advanced at the same time. Like it's weird kind of thing.
Yeah, how are they only like two or three generations in between these robots? Yeah. It doesn't quite.
And how come Captain Leo is like the only one basically?
Why isn't there an army of these guys?
Yeah.
Why isn't the army just these guys?
Yes, exactly. So, so basically, Harp and Leo are sent out on a mission to stop Viktor Koval, the terrorist leader, from getting some Cold War era nuclear missile silos, like the access to them, because there's like these access codes or whatever. But they've got a cover of taking some vaccines to a refugee camp, and they're going to like go and deliver these vaccines, and then they're going to sort of sneak off and stop Viktor Koval from, you know, his grand plan to destroy the world or whatever. Like, you know, he's just the baddie of all baddies. So along the way, they find a aid truck that's been turned over, and the Marines that are going along with them are actually the same Marines that... that Harp fired down on and killed two of their platoon.
Yeah, it's pretty convenient.
And
that
so that yeah, it's very convenient. Yeah. I was like thinking, like, you know, this is a massive war zone, but they send them
right
directly
to the same one.
Yeah, right to the same.
Believe
one.
Believe it or not, Russia's not that big. Like it looks big on the map.
It's the Ukraine.
Sorry, Ukraine. Yeah, so that
actually looks smaller, you know, about the size of my thumb on the map. So it's not that
big on the map.
About 2 centimeters.
I could walk
big.
That.
Yeah, one step. So they find an aid truck that's overturned, and they get into another little sort of encounter, but. One of the Gumps sort of shows that, you know, that it is very reactionary because one of the group that they're encountering throws a rock at it and it just straight up shoots him, kind of thing. So it sort of shows the level of intelligence that the Gumps have. But then Captain Leo sort of steps in to negotiate a peaceful solution between the two
situation.
Sort of thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, so he's like sort of showing how, like, you know, how much humanity he has or whatever, how much he cares about people.
What a toss-up. What a show-up.
And so,
no, just don't trust him, you know.
Sit down, mate.
Yeah, yeah.
Right?
No kidding. This is all for naught anyways, because straight after this, a whole heap of Koval's like army attack them and they get into another firefight where the group that has been sort of escorting them out to the refugee base or refugee camp get stuck in the firefight while they sort of Leo and Harper sneak away so that they can get to the refugee camp. And so they get there and they meet up with the doctor and give over the vaccines, and then Leo gets shot at.
Sophia? Is it?
Oh, do they meet Sophia yet?
That's the next place. Sorry.
They go to drop off the the vaccines
first.
Yep.
So and they get like ambushed by the worst sniper ever.
Yes.
Like, literally, he has the upper hand. Nobody knows he's even there.
He shoots three people that he's not aiming for.
There's like, there's a point where it's like, you kind of just got to give up. Like, maybe being a sniper's not for you.
Just close your eyes.
Everyone in the room, that's not the guy. Like, maybe give up. But then he retires shortly after, so it's fine.
He does. He retires. Maybe he was ready for retirement.
I think so.
Well and truly.
I think so. Man.
He had the high ground and everything. He had the high ground. He had everything. Mm-hmm. I don't think he even... Does he even nick Captain Leo? Like,
doesn't touch
Anthony
him at
Mackie?
All.
No.
It's like... But he does get like three or four different doctors.
Yeah. But there's not even like you know how like often you get that like the trope where, you know, you got the guy in his crosshairs and then he goes to take the shot and then
someone walks directly in front.
That doesn't even happen.
The person's like behind.
He just misses.
What happened? Curving your bullets.
I know. And
the Ukrainian snipers are really on a budget. Like, they really, really couldn't. Yeah, yeah.
These bullets kind of go fly everywhere. They just.
he's like you don't understand. I shoot long distance, not short distance.
He's too close. Too close to hit.
too close.
He needs to take a few steps back. I'll get him then.
Yeah, step back a few feet. I'll get you.
My goodness.
Don't run towards me. Run away.
Go back. Yes. Run away from me. What are you doing?
Anyway. Captain Leo gets Captain a shot Leo. Off on the sniper. Hits him in the neck. Yep. Gets him in the artery. He's bleeding out.
He's
then he's like, with a handgun. Yeah,
he's really good at close quarter shooting. That's his.
From a distance.
He brought the wrong gun.
So the guy's bleeding out and he's like, tell me who you work for. And he's like, F you Americans. And then he's like, fine, I'm going to leave you to the people of the Ukraine. And then, this is my favorite part. It was like, Anthony Mackie and Harp are both walking away and Harp is like, why are you just giving him over? He's still alive. Like, that's so like, blah, blah. And then in the background, you can see him like lying there and the Ukrainian people come over and then they just stand there with their sticks in the background. They just stand there until the conversation ends.
Yes.
Then they like, because you can't and hit somebody until people have politely stop talking.
You're right. Because it's like, they're not going to be able to hear each other if we start going at it right now. Like, give them the time.
I just thought that was very,
very polite.
Considerate of them to just wait until the conversation was over before they bash the man to death.
Angry mob that are like waiting for their moment.
One of the guys is like, sorry, you're done? Like, don't mean to rush you, but we want to kill this guy.
We're just waiting to kill this guy.
Just waiting on your mate.
Yeah.
Man, this is very true. And yeah, also, where was this empathy, like that Leo, like, sorry, that Harp has now, where was this empathy in the first scene? Like,
ugh. It's just so inconsistent.
Like, yeah,
it's
just like, very inconsistent. Yeah.
I seen a thing today and it was like, they were talking about how, like, you know, he's called Gummy Bear or whatever by his girlfriend, which comes up later on.
Does it? Okay.
And it's mainly because he likes
He likes gummy bears.
Gummy bears, man. Or whatever. Like, that was sort of the only thing that indicates it in the movie. But they're like, oh, that's because he's so humane, mm-hmm. but you know, he's like all gummy and like soft, like human, but you know, what's his name? Captain
Leo.
Leo is hard and he's got this hard exterior, and I'm like, out of both of them, Leo seems like he's got more humanity. Yes,
100%.
There are a lot of references to how much emotion he has and how that's like part of his makeup.
We get it.
We do get it.
Yeah.
You can think for yourself.
Yes. Okay. I kind of think I love it when liking gummy bears is your one defining character trait. Yes, as well. Yes.
That's how human you are.
He likes gummy bears. That's what we're going to go. It's like...
You know what?
Yeah.
You eat food.
You can relate to that.
After that.
It almost sounds like they're writing a female DC character.
Yeah. Boom. There it is. It's almost like my mum trying to figure out what to get my wife for Christmas. I was like, the only thing I know about Rachel is that she likes Redskins. So I'm going to get her Redskin scented candles. I'm going to get a Redskin perfume. I'm going to get a Redskin soap. I'm going to get her a Redskin calendar. What? She'll love that. Like, is legit what Rachel got from my mum.
Really?
Oh, Rachel. Bless your soul, Rachel.
Guess what?
You angel.
That is definitely one of those, like, look, I'm fine saying this because we already have established that mum doesn't listen to the podcast, but that kind of went straight in the bin. All of that.
So, okay.
Yeah.
Okay, so then.
Listen, mum.
What happens? Jeff.
So then they keep going because they've sort of achieved what they was their cover, but they're gonna keep going on and meet up with the
actual mission.
So I can't remember what the name of the character is that they made up.
Sophia?
With Sophia?
Is
it Sophia?
Yeah, at the refuge where all the children are at. So like this like safe place where all the orphans go because they don't have any homes because of the war.
Oh, and because of what Harper's done, all of his drone strikes.
Oh, yeah, all the bombs.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah, all the bombs that are
there
dropped.
There is legit a moment where Leo
she comes
tells,
out and she was like,
yeah.
Oh, Sophia like, comes
oh,
out and
this
she's
guy's
like,
deal?
Look, are you admiring your work?
Yeah. And it's literally like she comes out and like, what's this guy's deal? And Leo's like, oh, he's a drone pilot. And immediately she goes up and goes, they're orphans because of you.
It's look at what you've done.
Mate.
Okay, we just met.
Fair enough. They're like, man, first impressions. That's nuts.
And I feel like this scene could have been like way more impactful. I don't think it's like good to have gore and everything, but you need to show like some sort of like maiming of a kid in this scene.
One of the kids is missing a limb or something.
Oh, not just
died. Yeah, a limb or something.
Okay,
like,
okay. Because, I thought you meant like because, bodies like, littered on the ground. I was like, I don't know.
No. I mean,
this
like,
is Netflix.
There has to be like some sort of physical effects on the children because
they're so healthy and just happy.
They're very
so
healthy, which is great. Like it's a good testament to the orphanage that like they're doing the job right.
Yeah, yeah.
But you're right.
They're doing the job
they're,
right.
They're straight like out of the casting catalog.
It looks like a preschool in New Zealand, right? Like,
yes,
like
exactly.
Happy days.
Yes.
That's pretty much it. There's like, oh, this is like a, you know, prestigious, like, you know, this is a private school, basically.
Yeah.
They were getting a good
exactly.
education.
Yeah, basically.
No, you're right. Like, there are no clear traits that these guys have been brought up in a war zone.
Yeah.
There is like,
and the way that, like, that scene's framed, it's meant to be way more traumatic than it comes across because all he's doing is just looking around at some kids.
I kind of...
So, there's no sort of, like, visual representation of the weight of what...
Kind of when you think about, like, kind of thing. Black Diamond. Oh, sorry, no, the Blood Diamond, right?
Blood
when
Diamond,
they go to the orphanage thing, like, the... And there are kids, like, missing limbs and, you know, they look like they've had a horrible childhood.
Full on kind of thing.
For sure. You feel... And you feel that.
And, like... And you feel that, and then that, like, that empathy would come across in the character rather than him just sort of looking around and going, oh, yeah, there's some kids. Because, like, the reality is he could just, like, brush that off and walk away without even thinking maybe she's telling the truth. Like, he could be like, oh, yeah, she's just full of it and just
kind of does whatever, seem like kind of that thing. Is what she's
and
doing
it
as well.
Does come across that way, yes.
It's like, oh, he's a drone pilot. Watch, I'm going to pull a prank. And then just goes,
Anyway, so Sophia is the resistance leader in the Ukraine, and she tells the guys about an arms dealer and who knows the location of a bank vault with these nuclear launch codes. And so that is that's what the terrorist guy, Viktor Koval is going. Yeah. He's going to go to this bank vault and get the launch code. So they're like, great, we'll intercept. And we'll get we'll stop him from, you know, launching a nuclear attack on the whole world.
Mm-hmm.
So, so they go to the bank and there's just also like the worst battle ever ensues.
Yeah.
It's like
there's also a scene there's a scene where they kill a guy and take his car. And I don't really know what.
I don't remember that.
Why is that? That's relevant except for like they needed to get a car.
It's not, so let's not talk about it.
Yeah, no, that's not, let's keep going. I see what you're doing.
So they get to this bank, right?
They're streamlining the plot. I love it.
And they're like, all right, we got to go in. There's civilians in there. We've got to protect the civilians.
Yes.
And he's like, Leo's like, you go get the civilians. So what Harp does is literally draws fire to the civilians.
Oh, he's
he crashes
not
over
getting
them.
The civilians
they get,
out. He's not.
They get shot at. Then he's like, he sits down and he's like, don't worry. Help's on the way. You're safe now. I'm here.
You know what's even better?
Literally like they weren't getting shot at before you got there, man.
What's even better is that when
don't worry, I drew their fire towards you.
You're safe now. I'm here.
What's even worse is when they storm in, he actually shoots at the civilians when he walks in the door.
So true.
He gets startled by one of the hostages and shoots at them. It's like, mate.
So dumb.
So I and seen then, like a behind the scenes of this, like this scene, and it was Anthony Mackie and what's his name? Damson
in distress.
He was, they were watching the scene out and that moment when he crouches down and goes, don't worry, you're safe now. He like bursts out laughing, like the actual actor.
Thank you.
Damson Idris. And he goes, they're totally not safe there.
Exactly.
Like they're not safe at all. Like that's so wrong.
Do that, like, you know, do that dialogue difference. Like, no time.
We've done it.
That's a print.
We've done it.
It's been doing that.
Jeez. I laughed when he said they're safe now.
Basically, you're safe can be translated to you're going to get shot in the head.
Like 5 minutes from now, nearly all of them die. Yeah.
And like, wooden desks in the Ukraine must be like really different to wooden desks here because they are just wow, just bulletproof,
very
grenade
proof. Everything in Ukraine is bulletproof. Yeah.
And then there was that shot where Captain Leo chucks a grenade and then he jumps in midair and then he shoots it and then the blast pushes him back force. No shrapnel. Like he doesn't, there's no shrapnel. Power of it like floats him along like, you know, a different form of transportation.
It's like one
grenade
air. Catching the air.
grenade.
He flies from grenade to grenade. And
grenades are like jumping castles, right?
Actually,
they don't hurt you.
Just speaking of catching the wind of it, have you seen the trailer for that new Chloe Grace Moretz movie? Where she's
do you know that character is named after an Australian celebrity interviewer? Do you remember Maud Garrett? So Maud Garrett is like a TV host in Australia. She now lives in the US and she like interview celebrities, and she was interviewing this screenwriter one time, and the screenwriter was like, oh, I love your name, Maude Garrett. It's so like old. I'd love to use it in a script one day. And and she was like, all right, never, well, like, I mean, whatever. And like 10 years later, this trailer comes out and she's like, that bastard, he used it.
Was it Max Landis?
Max Landis.
So Max Landis
That's why it looks bad. Right there.
Yeah, well, Max Landis is one of those kind of people that everyone sort of
hates
distancing themselves
from. Yeah, yes. I think that's why she's like, damn it, that's my name.
That's fair.
Go look at every single thing he's done. Like, Chronicle was okay. And then everything, he did Bright, that's right. Oh, that sucks.
Yeah, he did Bright. So, he's the son of John Landis, so he's basically like,
he
already
comes from controversy.
Nepotism thing. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Basically. He like, with Shadow in the Cloud, they actually-
He was removed.
Said that, yeah, he was completely removed from it.
Wow.
And they're like, we basically rewrote the script and it's only his name in the credits. He's not-
Really?
Yeah, this is not his movie, basically.
Okay.
Kind of
so
thing.
It could
like,
actually be good.
I don't know. It doesn't look very good at all.
I was just like, that scene where she falls out of the plane and then another plane directly underneath
and then
explodes
herself back
and the
back
explosion
into it,
makes her fly back up into the plane. Oh, that's great.
Yeah.
Essentially, the same thing's happening in this movie and it still doesn't work. It's not.
No.
That's not cool.
Although, I don't know, like that movie, something about it looks like it might be a bit of B movie fun.
Yeah.
Like,
true.
I will probably see
kind
it.
Kind of played for laughs.
You will probably see
Pardon?
It.
I will probably see it.
Cool. Let's review
it looks
next
dumb.
Week.
Yeah.
That's just.
Yeah. Sure. So getting back to this, they have the whole bank vault sort of scene, and a whole heap of like bad gumps come in, like the robots, and
which are cool.
And Captain Leo has to fight them off, which is cool because they're like these formidable foe for
what
him.
What do you guys think?
Because otherwise, he's just like. Just killing everyone.
Do you like?
Kind of thing.
I'm not sure what you guys think, but I kind of prefer the design of the Russian or the Ukrainian gumps. Like how they kind of like get into that tripod mounted kind of gun
Dean,
position,
like into sort of like a dog.
Yeah,
sort of
mode. And they become like
so
a
stupid.
Mounted gun.
Dean, I cannot tell you how much I don't have an opinion on what these robots look like. Like,
you
just
know what?
Does not think rate for me at all.
I fully respect your lack of opinion here. It's great.
Do you know
sense.
What I do have an opinion though about? Is
what?
That like I am
How
so
long
glad
this podcast is taking? Oh, okay, sorry.
Well, yeah, but that I would hate to be the audio engineer for this gunfight because it is like. Like it could, you could just play Darude Sandstorm over it, and it would match up with like the bullets. Do you know what I mean?
Maybe, maybe they did.
100%.
Who knows?
Maybe they did.
There was no.
You would never know, and Paul would still marvel at how good the sound effects are.
It was so boring.
Paul and sound effects, like literally, like nearly every action movie I think he's ever watched, he's like, it's got my favorite sound effect.
How
in
good
it.
Was that sound?
And it's like,
it's just,
yeah, like
this is
that
just
sound
a,
effect.
We hate
it's
Paul.
Like my favorite.
We are so dissing on Paul, right? Like this whole episode is just like ripping on a guy that's not here to defend himself because
defend himself.
It's so impossible to have a go at him when he's here to defend himself.
Because he defends himself.
Because he defends
Crazy
himself.
Crazy how that works.
It's not fair.
It's funny that.
Yeah. How
dare he be able to defend himself.
But then. Sorry, Jason.
Yeah. No, you go on.
I was just going to say, then, like, kind of after all the, like, super shooting, he's, like, on the phone to people and they're, like, he's on the phone back to the base and, ironically, with. The other drone pilots who are like, hey, can you give us the all clear to drop a bomb? And he's like, oh my gosh, am
I'm
I going
right
to die
here, guys.
From a drone? Yeah, am I going to be the person that is going to be sacrificed for the greater good? And like,
and
you should be because you suck.
Yeah. This would be a great. Then, yeah. It's like, how does it feel to
but
be
he
on the other side of the foot? Kind
of. And so, they bomb this bank.
Yep.
And in the explosion, basically, Captain Leo has his little chip.
Oh that yeah, that, is being that's right. He convinces like his tracking chip thingy to and take it out.
To take it out, yeah. He convinces Harp to help him take it out, mm-hmm. and he throws it into the bank, and it explodes with all, everything else that's in the bank. So they think that Captain Leo is dead. Then Captain Leo heads over to meet up with Koval, and he basically has a standoff with him, and he's like, you know what? I don't even understand this. I don't understand why he had to meet with him, because he already had the codes, right?
I don't
know. The launch code.
I actually have no idea.
Like, I don't
I was not paying attention at this point. I only paid attention when he threw a flagpole through
that
the
was
man's chest.
Pretty cool.
It made no sense.
It made
it's
no
a blunt
sense.
Object.
It doesn't make any sense.
Like, why would it pierce you?
Well, because it's at, like, you know, pretty far. Like, it's the speed of which it was thrown, I think, is what caused.
Yeah.
You can get killed with a...
You can have things stick through you if they're not
sharp.
Not
as long as it was not that fast.
Bullets are technically blunt objects. On their own, they do not have a sharp end. They are blunt objects.
Oh, some of
them
do. Some of them
do.
Yeah, that's fair.
But normal, regular, you know, I don't know, like whatever they are, like
22s.
22s.
Yeah, I've shot a gun.
I'm not going to pretend like I know what caliber they are, but
any
they're, but they're definitely they're rounded
anything.
Yes, but they're rounded to a curve. They're not like the flat end of a broom handle.
Some of them are.
Okay, we'll agree to disagree.
No, I'm actually
I don't. I just thought it was the stupidest way to kill a guy. So, like, it was like some like 21-year-old like graphics guy was like, guess what we can do in this part of the script? We could get a flagpole and he could throw it through a car window and he could impale him sideways.
No. The other thing that you're forgetting, because it's a Ukrainian flagpole, the Ukrainian wooden flagpoles are all made of, entirely made of steel. So,
that's right. Oh, I forgot. Yeah.
They straight don't, through. That's,
just like their desks.
Yeah,
exactly. Everything, like, you know, when you're part of the Soviet Union, everything's made of metal.
I'm surprised you didn't cut him in half with the flag, that metal flag.
That's right.
He kills off the big terrorist leader, yes. And we're like, oh,
and we should say,
look out.
We should say that the Americans, think that he died in the drone strike.
Yeah.
So they think he's dead. They think Harp is the only one alive, and they're trying to get in contact with Harp.
Harp and Leo had the kind of like that conversation reveal thing in the car that was like so forced. What you're saying was so forced, where they're like, "Aha ha! I tricked you into pulling out my failsafe, and I tricked you into giving me full power. I don't need to listen to you anymore." That kind of stuff.
So I guess that's the plot twist right there.
I guess
that he's not really on the American side. He's like, I'm helping the Ukrainian resistance now.
I'm on the side
I'm doing
of
my own
humanity.
Thing. Yeah.
And
and that involves killing people for the greater good.
Yeah.
And then Harper's like, what the heck?
So there's another movie that does the same sort of thing, but much better. And that movie is Watchmen. The Watchmen.
Oh, yeah. I see what you mean.
So
like Ozymandias's plan.
Ozymandias' plan is basically to cause a mass, like, extinction sort of event that would then unite the world against a common enemy, which is Dr. Manhattan. Yes.
Also, and, Thanos. Just saying. Also, Thanos.
But this one, I think, works really well. Like I know, like, a lot of people don't like The Watchmen.
You're talking about the movie, but, right?
I don't. Yeah, the movie.
Yeah, the comic is slightly different, but it's the same kind of thing where it's like, we'll blame it on Dr. Manhattan and make him the enemy that the whole world, every nation can unite against. And then that's what...
bringing world peace.
Yeah, exactly.
Kind of thing. And, but this is like, he just wants to kill a bunch of Americans, it seems. And I'm like, there's no real, like, it's not going to stop a war. It's just going to... even the odds or something like that.
It's not
like it's like that's kind of like the
there's no uniting kind of tissue to his plan. He just
like and he keeps talking about how much humanity he has, but then he's like, no, I'm just gonna nuke him kind of thing.
Because there is a line where he's like, I'm gonna like
what?
Well, because it's like, you're gonna kill millions and he's like, to save billions. I was like, yeah, but how? Like, tell me the rest of your plan.
What is your plan? Please. Like, actually show us.
Like, it's like, yeah, a bit Terminator vibes, a little bit. Also,
a little bit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, for sure. Oh, it's definitely Terminator.
Like, humanity can't, like be trusted. We've got to kill them.
Yeah. Yes. Mm-hmm. I'm Sky
We're
now.
We're going to save humanity by killing humanity. That humanity. The Ultron kind of vibes. So, where it's like.
So basically, Harper's gone back to the Marine base by this point, and then he's worked out that, like, Captain Leo is still alive, and they track the vehicle that he had, or the one that
the one that he stole from the dude.
And they work out that, you know, he's gone to, like, stole it from Koval or whatever, and he's going to this, this missile silo in Russia. So, somehow, he manages to get there at pretty much the same time as Captain Leo.
Even though he had like a 2-hour head start or something.
Yeah.
Yeah, he had like a day head start. Wow. Like, it was like overnight.
Oh, yeah, because like he rides just as it seems to be taking.
Was he walking? Yeah. Like, was Leo walking? Yeah. Like,
like, I don't know.
He's just doing a casual cruise. Stroll? Like, casual drive. No hurry, just through the beautiful Russian landscape.
Looking at the scenery.
Just, enjoying the view. That's it. He's just cruising.
Exactly. And so, he goes there and then there's a nice little countdown even at the end where it's like, oh, you've got 5 minutes to go to actually save the world. So he goes in and he stops Captain Leo and then they have like a conversation where Leo's like trying to explain why he's doing this. And this is the moment when I thought that Harp would just sort of, like, what would make this movie a better movie
Is if he Harp died.
Would backflip and just go, let's kill them all.
Oh.
Because it's dark.
Right, you wanted him to turn.
It's dark.
To turn over to Leo's side.
Yeah, to turn.
You make a good point,
go to the dark
mate.
Side.
I'm going to back you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, like, he's not convincing at all. But it just would have made a better ending to this movie because this movie just is so generic otherwise.
Do you know what?
And that's why I was I was hoping for like something that was kind of different about it.
Can I tell you what I was hoping for? Yeah. So, you know that part where they're in the silo and he's confronting him initially before he sets off the nuclear bombs, like before he sets off the countdown. He's like trying to stop him and then he's got him. Leo has Harp pinned against a wall and he's, like, suffocating him.
Yeah.
But Harp has his hand on the gun and he's, like, shooting him in into the side, like, the lower stomach area.
Yeah.
And that's when I knew this script was written by a man because who has never taken a female self-defense class because the whole time I was just like, just shoot him in the dick. We already have established.
But he's a robot.
But, yeah. No, we've already established he really feels pain, like the same way that humans do. So if you shoot him in the dick, he is down. There is no way he's like, oh, I'm just like going to tough it up with my side.
Wow.
Like he is on the ground. You've saved the world. Shoot him in the dick.
Okay.
That's all
Fiona,
I'm saying.
That raises so many questions for me. One, you've actually done one of these courses?
And Multiple times. Yeah, wow,
and
high
they
school.
Actually,
we did
they actually
sport.
Teach you to shoot a guy in the dick? Holy crap.
No, you just aim for it.
Yeah, so it's like he had the gun down there and twisted the angle of his wrist and it would have been fine.
Right. But surely body mass, like, because isn't that what they teach you in the police force? Bam. Like, you
literally,
don't go for a headshot, you go for a chest because that's like where the most massive body mass is.
His arm wasn't like close enough to get to the chest.
Right.
But it was close
to get to the dick.
And holy that's crap. On the internet now.
You're right.
And I can never have a career in politics.
I can assure you, there are no guys going to mess with you anymore. Not that they are already, but holy crap. That's Respect.
I'll remember that advice if I ever get in this situation.
Just shoot a guy in a
DM. I'm just saying, 100% success rate. Wow. Not that I've tried.
So he gets basically, like, the thing about Captain Leo, too, is he's a sentient robot.
Like, you're neutralizing the threat completely if you do that.
That's like, what I'm saying.
It's just, yeah. Like,
it's forever. Foolproof.
It is bulletproof. Not the dick. That's not. But, oh, man. It's like, wow. Good work.
So, Captain Leo is this sentient robot, right?
Yeah.
But he's just not that smart.
No,
there's
he's
nothing
not.
In this movie that shows him to be this, like, mastermind. Like,
yeah, like, if he's got a computer for a brain, right? Like, which you'd expect.
Yeah.
He'd
Well,
the whole
show it off a little bit.
The whole conversation, like leading up to this big finale, is like he is faster, smarter, and stronger than you. Be careful. And there's like, I'm gonna shoot you, not in the dick, but I'm still gonna shoot you. And that is how.
And that's all it takes.
Like, yeah, he's smarter and faster and stronger than me, but he doesn't have a gun, so. But he probably does. So,
like,
did have a gun, didn't he?
Like, they could have had a cool moment, like at the end of the last season. Yeah, last season, Game of Thrones with Arya Stark.
Oh yeah, that's
just the knife.
That
breath,
really
like,
great. Oh yeah, yeah, yeah.
Just so swish.
Yeah. So be careful how you describe that last season of Game of Thrones. It's
it was bad.
That was a cool scene.
That knife drop, like
that was freaking sick.
Catch. Wonderful.
Do the whole like Winter Soldier kind of Bucky fight thing.
Yeah, because sure. he does it, doesn't he?
Well, he does the same thing, but it's cooler because
it's Bucky. It's not Game of Thrones season 8.
Because it's Bucky and it's not like a little girl trying to... No, I'm just...
Whoa.
Oh, shots fired.
Very much joking.
Are you on my list of people to shoot
Maisie
in the dick,
Williams,
Mandy?
Please do not shoot me in the dick. I really respect your work. You're awesome.
Thank you.
I still want to have a couple more kids before I die. Sorry. Continue.
So, basically, yeah, he takes out Captain Leo and then he's like, I'm going to stop this... nuclear missile going off, and we're going to stop it by having a drone strike on top of the nuclear missile because that's going to stop it from exploding, even though it's now been activated.
Oh, yeah, that's the thing. It has been activated. Once it's activated, it is nuclear, right? If it wasn't active, then it would be fine.
Like,
right?
Yeah. I don't know. I don't know how nukes work.
Why don't you know,
but
Jason?
I'm going to say it's probably... not a good thing to explode a nuclear
missile. It was like, how did you just explain that away? And I think that the sentence was something like, yeah, if we blow it up, we'll blow up the control center and then that'll disable it. But it was like, you literally dropped the bomb on the actual nuke.
Yeah.
On the nuke. And then like, I mean, you think of like places like Chernobyl and stuff like that.
Where the fallout,
like,
reactors.
Different. Yeah, like the fallout from...
not a nuclear warhead, which like obviously the nuclear warhead is a reactor in itself. But I feel like I know
we needed
a
mushroom
thing
cloud,
to it.
Right?
We need Paul here. He would be able to explain.
Yeah,
how would
nuclear.
He
probably wouldn't.
He would like this.
He'd probably say it with confidence.
He would say it with confidence, and we'd be like, oh, okay.
When it comes to nuclear war. All you need is confidence.
All you need is confidence.
What's his name? What's the I forgot the guy behind the Manhattan Project. Never mind. I was gonna make a funny joke and I've forgotten the name of him, so I can't make that joke. Moving on.
Okay. We'll just continue on.
That's a great idea.
So there's a drone strike, like, imminent, and Harp manages, like, even though it's, like, you know, 30 seconds away or something like that.
He runs, like, a kilometer.
Like, I think I realized how he actually made it to the facility before Captain Leo. He can run.
That's
the
boy's got
speed. He can really run.
This is the big twist where we find out that, really, Harp was the robot
For a guy who sits at a, in front of a computer all day playing with drones, he's got some good cardio.
He does. Yeah. He does.
He's also. Also a massive waste of money if he is the robot because he's just sitting in front of a computer all the whole time.
Yes.
Kind of think, why don't they just let the computer
would
do
it? Would be fantastic
and not have
if,
a body for it.
If he like if he ran if was running out, like he went past Anthony Mackie's character again and just like on your left. Just there's the reference.
So anyway, so he runs out and it all explodes and Captain Leo dies inside and he's Harp saves the world and everything's good again.
And
basically.
Harp as a character is already dead inside. And
he hasn't changed.
And
really.
Nobody cares about the ending at all.
And everyone's glad this movie
it's
is
over. And the credits roll and everyone sighs a relief.
Yeah, people clap because they're just happy that it's
over. Yeah, like when the plane lands. It's like, oh, we've
people
made it.
Clap.
Yeah. We made
because
it.
It's now
made it to the end.
They've realized that the movie's over. They're in the lounge room and now they get to go to bed. So that's so good.
It's a good night for
best
everyone.
Best thing about this movie is that I didn't have to drive home from the movies at the end of it.
That's fair.
And you have to pay for the ticket.
Didn't have to pay for the ticket.
I would have been annoyed if I
know if you paid money for this.
Yeah.
Ugh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I would probably have been Jupiter Ascending annoyed. But I feel like I was it's been too nice to Jupiter Ascending. I was going to say I was more entertained in Jupiter Ascending, but just
you were
crap it
like
was.
You definitely were. Surely
it was a worse movie, but at least
but it was like
entertaining.
It was like cringy. Like what the heck is going on? Ha ha.
Yeah, yeah. It was like you could laugh at some of the crap that was in it. So you can't do that with this.
Jason's
no,
it's sucked.
No.
Wait, Jupiter Ascending or this or both?
Yeah, both. Yeah. Anyways, this gets us to the end of this episode. What did you guys give it out of birds? How many birds does it land for you guys? Fiona, how many birds are you going to give it?
I think I'm going to go with 1.5 because I think it's slightly higher than the worst Gerard Butler movie, but it's still terrible.
That's really
trash.
That's
sorry, Anthony Mackie.
That's pretty hard.
Make a Falcon movie and I'll be happier.
They're making a Falcon series.
Winter Soldier and Falcon.
Falcon and the
Winter Soldier rather.
Yeah, he gets first billing, Jason.
Out
Jeez.
At some point.
Jeez.
Yeah.
It's going to come out actually
Is he Captain America
March?
Now? He's Captain America
April.
Now, right?
Yeah, I think he is
Captain America shield, light right? or something. I don't know. Like, not quite Cap, but kind of. He's got the shield.
Because he doesn't have any real powers.
He's got
right?
wings.
Like, he's not.
But no, he's not a super
not
soldier.
A power.
Whereas, like, but I think because Bucky's got the super soldier and he's got the wings, so together
they make Captain
America. They make
America.
Captain America 2.0. I don't know. We'll find out in April, I think, is when we're getting that.
Yeah, whenever it comes out.
Whenever WandaVision finishes, like pretty much the week after Falcon and the Winter Soldier starts. Like there is a new Marvel episode like every week this year, pretty much. It's crazy.
Really?
Yeah? Yeah. Or like a new Marvel release every week. Between all like, because we've got like four shows and 2-3 movies, I think. I need to double check.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, fun times.
Fair enough.
So, what did you rate it, Dean?
Yeah.
Oh, right.
what did you rate it? How many birds?
I also give this 1.5 birds.
Hey.
Yes.
That's fair.
Yeah, it wasn't fun. And it was, again, fell asleep 3 times trying to watch it. That is a new record, a new low for me. Next time, I'm probably just going to give up and be like, look, I didn't make it through.
Let's talk about something else.
Yeah, let's talk about something else.
Yeah.
Never want to work this hard to watch a movie ever again.
Oh,
so.
Yeah.
That's fair. That's
fair. Movies should be fun.
Yeah.
Agreed.
Yeah. Fair
especially
enough.
With Jason Mackie in it. Jace, what do you think?
I'm actually in agreement with you.
Yes. Oh my god. This has never happened before.
This is new.
Look.
Yeah.
Wow.
It's not a good movie. It was very disappointing. Yep. I thought like it at least have some good action, but it didn't have that either. No. So that was disappointing. But it had like that nice like 5-second cameo from that guy from Game of Thrones.
Oh yeah.
As the, you know,
as
the
in
main villain, yep. Or the,
oh, that guy, Victor
Koval. Koval.
Yeah, I was trying to figure out what he was from.
Yeah.
And also Michael Kelly is always fun in the fact that he's never actually fun.
Yeah.
But
I went to high school with a guy named Michael Kelly.
Really?
Not the same guy.
Not the House of Cards Michael Kelly. Yeah. He's not the dude that killed Kevin Spacey. So. Okay.
No.
Wait.
Oh, how bad was that?
That's I haven't finished watching it, but I found that out. I found that that's what happened.
Oh, it's so disappointing.
Is that House of Cards?
It's just
that's how it
that
ends.
That final season.
I've never seen
is
it.
Is just terrible.
So the final season like, doesn't have Kevin Spacey in it, Fee, because...
Yeah, it doesn't have Kevin Spacey. Like, and I understand what they're doing. Like, obviously, they're distancing themselves from Kevin Spacey and everything that he did and all the atrocious things that he did. But, or allegedly did, whatever. So, he... Like, they framed the whole season around Frank Underwood.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of just going, okay, this is Claire Underwood's story now and forgetting that he even existed, they're like, no, we're going to frame the whole season around him to the very extent that the whole season is framed around his recorded messages that Claire Underwood listens to throughout the whole season, but you never hear the voice. Oh. She just sort of tells people verbatim what she heard. So it's like always this sort of like hearsay of what
they
Frank
didn't even
said
get
previously.
A Kevin Spacey impersonator in to
No,
they didn't get that dude from Walking Dead to come in and do his Kevin Spacey impression. You know the guy I'm talking about? Exactly. The guy who did Red Skull and all that.
Yeah. But it's bad because they never got away from Frank Underwood as a character.
Yeah.
And they should have just, like, they could have focused completely on Claire Underwood and her being the president because that was, like, fascinating on its own.
Yeah. But they
undermined that whole character by just focusing on Frank. It was frustrating.
We did get, though, thanks to that, we did get a very awkward, uncomfortable, special, like, little tribute scene from Kevin Spacey that Christmas. Do you remember that little?
Oh, yeah, we did.
Oh, that was...
Well, no, he's released one every Christmas so far.
Oh.
Yeah, he released one last year.
Oh, I need to watch them.
Well.
Oh, like, the first one was so uncomfortable. It's like Kevin Spacey sitting there, like, cutting up a turkey or something, looking at the camera. It's like, you didn't really believe I was dead, did you?
Did you miss me or whatever?
It's like, this is really weird. Anyway, that's too much Kevin Spacey talk for a podcast in 2021.
Completely.
So, shoot him in the dick. Sorry.
What was that?
Yes.
I missed that completely.
Right, you go do that, girl. Just shoot him in the dick.
So, that's the end of this week's episode. Look, I've already plugged Patreon enough. I'm probably going to do a whole thing this year and just not plug it anymore.
But
you guys
it
know
works,
where it
Jason.
Is. You know
got
where
so
we are
many
online.
Supporters.
That's like, if you want to find us, we're in the description, whatever. Good night, everyone. Yeah. I'm going to bed. I don't know what you guys are doing. You're welcome to stay up and keep talking, but I'm going.
We're good, man. We're good. Once you leave, that's it. This the party's over.
Yeah.
All right.
All right.
Bye. Yeah. See ya.